Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot.
I want to welcome you to a brand new series. This is a series that I'm actually so excited about. It's on the life of David. It will be just a mini series, just 5 days. But we are going to see something very interesting in this man who becomes a symbol of Christ because he is going to be in the line of Jesus Christ. As you know, Jesus is the son of David when we get to the New Testament. And we learn so much about Jesus and grace and God from the life of David. And that's why I have chosen these 5 topics. Some of them are not too known, some of them are very known. So I hope you stick with us the whole week long. Now, the series title is After God's Heart. And the reason for that title is because he is the only man in the Bible that was given that title by God himself. I'm going to read it to you in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. Where the prophet is saying to Saul, to the previous king, "Now your kingdom shall not endure, because the Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart." And can you imagine calling David a man after his own heart with all the things that will go wrong in his life, the great sins of David? How can God call a man after his own heart when his life was not perfect? Well, this is one of the intriguing things about David, and we're going to discuss them throughout these 5 days, that David always was seeking after God, even when he was at the bottom. And I don't know if you've ever been at the bottom of something. I have been. And I tell you, that's where you really find God, when everything else is stripped from you. So let's start in a story that some people don't know very well, that follows a very known story. See, 1 Samuel 16 is when the prophet Samuel will actually anoint David king. And then after that, we have Goliath. Who doesn't know the story of David and Goliath? We all love that story. We see a triumphant David trusting in the Lord, and we all see like a spiritual hero. But then comes the time, a friend of mine, another women pastor, has called this time the in-between anointing and appointing. You know, David already knows he's going to be king. He has been anointed, but he hasn't been appointed king. So he has to live in between this time. And in between times are very difficult because, you know, it's God's timing. It's not our own timing. And it's so difficult to wait for the appointment when we already have the anointing. And this time is a time when David will be trained by God through difficulties. I always have called this time when he lives in the caves, persecuted by King Saul, I have called it Cave 101. You know, you might remember in your life a time when it's a cave time, where nothing seems to go right. You seem to be persecuted and oppressed, and you look up to heaven and say, "Why, Lord? Why are you allowing this time in my life, this in-between times?" Well, one of the reasons why God allows it is because he teaches us so much. He does his best work in the caves of our lives. This is when we learn things that we don't learn when everything is going great. And this is that time for David. And God allows what I call a sandpaper in his life. You know, God uses sandpaper for our rough edges. Sometimes a person is a sandpaper. Sometimes a situation is a sandpaper. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes it's a financial situation. God allows certain things so that our rough edges can be taken off and we can shine for his glory. And the sandpaper in David's life was Saul, the king that was king at that moment, even though David had already been anointed to be the next king. So can you imagine having to, hide in caves when this other king is persecuting him for no reason? As a matter of fact, Saul had been his father-in-law because David married Saul's daughter. And here we have a feud between the father-in-law and David. And actually, David is having to hide in caves and caverns in the wilderness. By now, he has a few men with him. And I'm going to start on 1 Samuel chapter 24. Now, I think we learn a lot about God in the way that David will deal with Saul. You know, Saul is really a pain right now for David. I mean, he is just after his life. But he's going to be shown grace even though he's underserving. And it comes in a very vulnerable way. Let's start on chapter 24 of 1 Samuel. When Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." So he had a spot. He had a location. And so Saul put his GPS on and said, "Okay, we're heading that way. I have to exterminate David," because he was jealous of David. God was with David. So Saul comes there and he takes 3,000 chosen men, his best men, 3,000. This is many times the amount of men that are with David. And he comes to a very vulnerable place. We are told in the Bible that in verse 3, he came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now, this is a terminology that we must explain, because he's literally caught with his pants down, we would say contemporarily. So he's going to the bathroom inside the cavern, and not even his personal bodyguard would be allowed with him at that very, obviously, very vulnerable moment. What he has no clue is what it says on the second part of the verse 3, that David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. I mean, can you imagine? David and all his men inside the cave, and here comes Saul to relieve himself with no bodyguard and without the 3,000 men that had accompanied him. And he has made David's life just impossible. I mean, can you imagine? Think of a person that is the sandpaper in your life. Somebody that is just, I mean, making your life so difficult and becoming really so undeserving of your grace towards them. Well, this is what happens. And the people that are with David, they say, "Look, God is giving you your enemy. Go ahead and kill Saul. This is your moment. I mean, avenge yourself." I think this is one of the greatest temptations in life, to take matters in your own hands. Whether it is to get your rights vindicated, or whether it is to make something happen, I think the most difficult thing in life is let go and let God. When you say, "Well, you know what? I'm just going to trust God on this one." Well, David goes very close to Saul and does something really interesting. Verse 4, "The men of David said to him, 'Behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I am about to give you your enemy into your hands.'" We don't know where they were getting this from, because we have no text from David that says that. "But David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly." Can you imagine how close David was to Saul, that he could actually cut the hem of his robe? Now, perhaps we need to say this. Cutting somebody's robe had a great meaning. And it wasn't simply that he cut the robes to say, "Haha, I was so close to you and I didn't kill you." No, it was a lot more than that. For example, when a man divorced a woman, he would cut the edge of the robe of his wife to say, "This covenant is over. We're done." So in this case, the royal robe had been cut, meaning disloyalty to this kingdom, in some ways rebellion to this king. But imagine, this is the future king cutting the current king's robe, which meant, "I'm going to take matters in my own hand. You're no longer the king. I'm going to be the king." That's what it really meant. But on verse 5, we're told that David's conscience started bothering him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. He realized that he had taken matters in his own hand, that he was saying, "This is the time I'm going to be king," when in fact God was not saying that. And so his conscience started really bothering him, and he said, "I have sinned," he says on verse 6. "I have taken, you know, upon myself to go against the Lord's anointed." You know, a verse comes to mind, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, "Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and in due time he will exalt you." Don't be the one that makes a way for yourself. And so Saul leaves the cave. David doesn't kill him. And when he's far enough, he says, "Saul, look over here, my father," verse 11. "Look, I have part of your robe in my hand. Why are you persecuting me? Why? I'm not after you." And Saul realized his sin and realized that he had received grace that he didn't actually deserve. And he started weeping, says on verse 16. And he said to him, verse 20, "I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand." Sometimes we get the incredible chance of showing grace to our enemies. Here, David acted the way that God has acted with us. We don't deserve anything. Even the thief on the cross, remember Luke 23? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, instead of saying, hey, you're my enemy, you have not behaved appropriately, he says, tell you what, you will be with me in my kingdom. This is one of the greatest lessons we learn about God. There is grace for the undeserving. We have received it ourselves. Wait for God's timing. He will avenge you. Just trust him. In the meanwhile, act the way that God acts with us, giving grace to the undeserving. You know, I remember Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions, and that is the bottom line of the gospel. Grace for the undeserving.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter @Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.